Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining the 20th episode of Carrie Aller and Friends Coffee Chat. Today I have with me my sweet sister, Chiquita Miller. Hey Chiquita.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you. I call Chiquita my Chiquita Banana.
Yes. It's spelled and pronounced just like the banana.
There you go. So, Chiquita, I know we were talking, and I know God has burdened your heart for this, and I just love this message, so I kind of want you to start it out. That's cool.
Sure.
About what God's been burdening you for.
Absolutely. One of the burdens that God has definitely given me, and actually, instead of burden, I'd rather call it passion.
Okay, there you go. That's good. I like it.
Burden is heavy, and you're dragging that thing, and
yes.
It's hard to carry.
Okay.
And passion fuels you.
All right, I'm changing that word right now.
And so for me, my biggest passion is for leaders, is to minister to pastors and leaders in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Reason being is because I've been one, and I've also witnessed so many unnecessary hurts and things that go on within the body of Christ, because if I just say church, but I'm meaning not just a denomination, just period.
Yeah.
Across the board. And I feel like so many times our pastors and leaders are so focused on getting educations and salaries and different things that they miss out on, you know, what really goes with the whole call and mantle. So I really try to pour into those, especially those who have pastor mantles, helping them to realize everybody with a pastor's mantle is not called to be a senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may be under shepherds in another congregation or community.
Mm-hmm.
That pastor mantle may be a youth pastor. It may be a women's pastor. It may be a men's pastor. It may be pastor of outreach. You know,
I love that.
There's so many other.
Right.
Pastor roles that are needed, but the senior pastor has such a weight.
Yes,
and such a I felt the anointing, but it's such a weight with that senior role pastor and responsibility that if you're not anointed for it, there'll be so many unnecessary wounds that happen among leaders, leaderships, burnouts. Why so many pastors leave, you know, not just the ministry, but, you know, just leave churches and all of that.
Right.
All of those things that are necessary. I just feel like if we can just get in there and get everybody in understanding, if your season is up, you know when to walk away, know when to change, know when to shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, even senior pastors, have a plan of succession. Don't try to hold that mantle, you know, the role of senior pastor to the grave,
right?
And take the church to the grave with you, because you didn't let go when you should have,
right?
Because you weren't anointed for the evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We're in a season now of millennials, and everybody doesn't have the anointing to minister and draw those millennials like that. And if you don't have a seasoned senior pastor who's willing to know how to bridge the gap,
right?
Still hold on to the seasoned saints, still hold on to those who were traditional, and still have a heart and compassion to reach that millennial and be able to bridge it, not choose one or the other, then they need to shift.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go ahead and realize, this is not the season I'm supposed to do this. I did what I was supposed to do in that season, and, you know, take those wins and move on.
That's so good.
And now go to where you're supposed to be, where you can be effective now.
Yes.
So that's a huge passion for me on helping pastors to recognize that, know those seasons, know those times. God moves in time, seasons, dispensations.
Right.
And then we act like it's just this one thing, and we grab it and we hold on to it for dear life. Can't take it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
God didn't take it away. He's just elevating. He's shifting. He's moving. He's saying the next thing. It's like we're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We had elementary, middle school, high school, college, grad school, life.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, but we want to get in this and get territorial. And the only person who owns the territory is God.
Amen.
So we really need to know when it's time to shift. There may be times for, I've seen it, I've been one. I've been a senior pastor. I've planted churches.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped others plant churches.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped develop leaders. I help, you know, visionaries develop their vision for outreach and all of that. And I've had on both sides of the pew, sitting as a pew member and serving. I won't say sitting because I never sat. Even as a child, I still was serving. But I've had, you know, both sides of the pulpit, so to speak. And I know the weight of that, and I know how so many people get fought with the what looks, you know, they get the pride of life gets in the way of what are people going to think if I walk away from this?
Right.
Or what are people going to think if I leave? Well, they'll think what you tell them.
That's right.
Why did you leave?
Right.
For me, it was because it was what was supposed to be done at that time.
Right.
And if I got in the place at the time when I left, it was because I left pastoring. I didn't leave ministering. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, tried to. The Lord just refused my resignation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He
I understand.
Turned it down.
I understand.
But at the same time, you know, I thank God I don't ever regret the decision that I made because I went through a traumatic, you know, divorce experience after having come out of domestic violence situation mm-hmm. and trying to get my children, keep them, you know, in the Lord. And I remember thinking, okay, I have this congregation of people that I'm responsible for, and I have these three lives that God is holding me responsible for mm-hmm. to shape. God loves these sheep. These are his sheep. But these children, he's holding me really accountable for.
Right.
And then I also realized I was so hurt and wounded and broken and all of that till you've heard me say before, my milk was spoiled.
Yeah.
I couldn't nurture anything.
Yeah.
How was I going to nurture people when I needed to be healed?
Right.
So I sat myself down for 3 years mm-hmm. to just get poured into, just get healed up so that I wouldn't become the thing God was calling me to replace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people don't do because of pride.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and I didn't care what people thought at that point. And people I love, I took a lot of hits mm-hmm. over that decision. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I took a lot of professional hits. I took ministry hits, coworkers, you know, in the gospel and why you should have never. And this is this. And but I know God was telling me, go sit down and be healed and let me help heal your family.
Right.
And let me help get this together. And then we're going to bring you back out. And do what, and I did, even then, I was like, you don't have to bring me back out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
I'll play the background, yes.
Very well, Lord,
yes.
Very well.
Yeah.
And after all of that, it was kind of like when Jesus told Peter, Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Mm. After you have been converted, strengthen your brother. That's my call to pastors and leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me help strengthen you. Let me help, you know, help you to realize you don't have to deal with that burnout like that. You don't even have to be burnout.
Mm-hmm.
You really can just, if you're called to do this, yes, the enemy is going to come and fight you.
Sure.
If it's your season to do this, then this, let's do this way so that you can avoid that.
There you go.
And if it's your season to shift, then shift well.
Mm.
You know.
That's good.
Pass the baton when it's supposed to be passed. Don't be insecure about the leaders that God bring in your ministry. You know, develop them, cultivate them, release them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help them to do what they're supposed to do. Don't choke out the gifts, the calls, the mantles.
Right, right. And you know what? Like, when you're saying that, I think that some of us, like you said, get territorial and we feel like we have to fight for our place. But there is room for all of us.
Yes, yes.
That's what we all need to realize. There's room for all of us.
Exactly. And when you really realize that,
you're
grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you also realize that everybody doesn't have to have your same personality.
Right.
They've got to have your same heart for souls and soul winning.
That's right.
You know, as a senior pastor, they got to have that. But I may not, you know, say it just like you say it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to bring the crew that you can't reach with
mm-hmm.
your speech,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm not anointed to keep them because you're the senior pastor.
Right.
But I can sheep begat sheep. I can begat.
Right.
And then you shepherd them.
Right.
Us.
Us. I love that. And there's so many pastors that get burnt out and, you know, they, I mean, you know, we see on the news, like a pastor that committed suicide and just different things like that. And I think a lot of people don't realize the weight that a pastor carries.
Yes.
And they can't really open up to everybody. They have to be cautious because people will use whatever they can against them. So it's a lonely innocence road. It really is.
And then it's a hard road on the family.
Yeah.
Because that family is sacrificing so much of that pastor's time.
Right.
And sharing them with everybody else.
Yeah.
So while that pastor is saving your children, his children is being fought.
Right.
While he's saving your marriage, his marriage is being fought.
Right.
While he's praying for your sick, his body is being fought.
That's right.
And nobody cares.
No.
Everybody's just like, oh, he's supposed to be doing this. And so if leaders don't, and that's why I say pastors and leaders.
Yes.
If leaders don't understand their role in undergirding the pastor
right.
and the vision and not trying to take his place.
Yeah.
Not trying to undercut him. Mm-hmm. Undergird, not undercut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Undergird the vision. Submit to it. Submit to the accountability. Submit to the, if you're not going to submit to it, then don't be over here dividing it. Go ahead. Move along. You know, do what you're going to do, but either submit to it and really undergird that pastor
right.
and that vision in prayer and in spirit and in deeds, you know, in action. Be loyal. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's almost like loyalty is a lost word.
Yeah.
In this generation.
Yeah.
You know, it's we came up, loyalty meant something.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it wasn't just a word.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, you know, a reward program for an airline.
Yeah. I know, right? It's so true.
I'll be loyal if I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But loyalty in the kingdom really meant something, and the loyalty was to God. We
yeah.
serve man as unto God.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't deify him.
Right.
We realize that this is a human being
yep.
who's subject to error like we are.
Yep.
And just like your biological parents
mm-hmm.
may not be perfect.
Right.
Your biological parents may miss it every now and then or what have you.
Absolutely.
Or they didn't say it like you wanted to
yep.
say it.
Yep.
But in the long run, you knew they loved you.
Right.
And you didn't turn on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't kick them to the curb and you didn't denounce them.
Right.
But we're quick to do that with spiritual parents.
Mm.
We won't allow them to be human
mm-hmm.
because they have a spirit. But they're still human.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
So can we see there, you know, which one of the sons of Noah saw his father's nakedness and covered it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying make excuse for sin.
No.
Blatant sin is where I'm unrepentant and I'm not going to do. That's
right.
a whole different thing.
Right.
But I'm talking about an honest mistake.
Yeah.
An honest, you know,
yeah.
flesh moment of, hey, it's a moment, not a lifestyle.
Right.
You know, where's the intercessors
mm.
that's praying, you know, and holding the people together and still saying, hey, we're going to, you know, undergird this vision and keep moving. And so to see leaders, you know, I often tell people, I use the analogy when I taught leadership development that the pastor is a shepherd.
Yeah.
And leaders are like sheepdogs.
Yeah.
Sheepdogs, you know, whole job is to protect the herd.
Right.
And so they're barking and they're sounding out, you know, wolf, wolf, you know, or they're chasing off wolves.
Mm.
But what I've seen happen and witnessed happen is where the sheepdogs in the kingdom have had the sheep in their mouth.
Yeah.
You know, our job is not to come over here and be like, I got it. It didn't get away.
Right, right.
That's not what we're called to do.
No.
And I love how my bishop said this in one of our trainings. He said that if your favorite food is lamb chops, don't expect God to give you a lot of sheep. Don't expect. And I'm like, yes, I love this scenario. If your favorite food is lamb chops, you may not be called a pastor.
Yeah. You just swipe right.
Yes. Yes, swipe right.
Oh, gosh.
But that's a huge passion
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
So my call is twofold. I tell people all the time, I'm called, Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring.
Yeah.
That's my main calling is to get those sheep that are licking their wounds, that are scattered.
Sure.
That everybody has forgotten about. And they many times are not at church
yeah.
because of a church hurt, church wound. They seen too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of whatever the reason is. I'm called to them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm called to the people who help keep them.
Yeah.
So that they don't run out and they don't scatter the flock and they can nurture them and
right.
help develop them. So that's why I have such a passion for pastors and leaders
yeah.
to stay whole mentally and emotionally and
yeah.
and in every way.
Right.
Because I know what it's like when it's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know it from both sides of the pulpit.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Because when you're on staff, you see the business side of church and,
yeah.
you know, and
yep.
people are people.
Yeah. Yes.
And we have to give that grace and
right.
that undeserved grace. You know, the other day, actually, my kids were it was their first day of school, and it was my son's like first year of middle school. And so I was really scared. But guys, listen, I woke up, I got the kids breakfast, everything was good. I was like, I'm a boss. I got their lunches packed. Everybody was showered. Yes. It wasn't even dry shampoo, it was showered, you know? And it was like, it was good.
So, winning.
Yes. And I had my cup of coffee in hand, and my husband was parked in the driveway, and I got the kids, even their cheesy pictures, you know, the first day of school, yes, pictures, backed up and hit a parked car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And after I hit this parked car, of course, my husband is watching the whole thing, and yeah, that was not good. And then,
right,
you know,
right,
yeah. So fast forward, but my neighbor, she actually, later that day, I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to go talk to her. And I told her, you know, I'm sorry. I left a note for her. But she said, hey, I want to show you something. And I was like, oh great. She's going to show me what I did.
Right.
But she said, do you see this scratch? Do you see this scratch? These are from my kids hitting the car with the ball. And do you see this and this? This is how this happened. She said, so don't worry about it.
Wow.
And that's the kind of grace,
yes,
that we need to give, yes, each other, because in church.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. In church, like we, you know, if the pastor doesn't know that you're going through something because you didn't open yourself up and you expect them to read your mind, people,
right,
get offended. And there's so many things that happen that,
yeah,
you don't,
yeah,
really know about until,
that's,
you're,
right,
a staff member.
Yes.
But we have to have that grace with one another.
That's
another.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly true. And you often tell people that, yes, you hear the saying, hurting people hurt people.
Yeah.
But you know what? Healed people heal people.
Amen. We don't hear that. We focus on the hurt.
Yeah. And that's what I try to emulate and, mm-hmm, and help others understand. Healed people heal people. And I'm one of those who I've been healed now from all of those hurts. And some self-inflicted, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
You know, I could have had better judgments.
Right.
But, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now with this 20/20, let me help you.
Right.
Before you fall in that same trap. Wait, turn, stop.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I try to do and share. So that's my heart.
Yeah. I love that so much. And I know we were talking earlier about, you know, you had a teacher at one point that they were teaching a class and they weren't patient with you in that class. And, you know, and like you said, people are positioning themselves where they weren't ordained or anointed, mm-hmm, for. And so when we're in that position, it's like forced. It doesn't flow.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so we need to stop trying to put ourselves in positions,
yeah,
that we're not meant for.
That's true.
You know?
And that conversation I was referring to when I was in my business management.
Yeah.
When I was going to college for business management, and I had an accounting class.
Yeah.
The teacher was an excellent accountant.
Right.
But he was a horrible teacher.
Right.
And he had no patience, not just for me, for anybody. If they asked questions, he,
yeah,
was insulted by the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he would literally say, did I not just make that plain enough?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole class is looking at you with one big question mark.
Right.
So apparently not.
Right.
It was like, it ain't just her.
Right.
We don't know what you meant. What,
right,
was that?
Right.
And he would get insulted by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, can you speak our language? Because you are an accountant.
Right.
At the time, I was a hairstylist who owned a salon. Some of these people were, you know, coming out of being homemakers and,
right,
just different things.
Right.
So this is a required course for this major.
Right. Right.
And we need to pass it, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was that right there is a prime example of if you're not anointed for something just because you're good at it or even having a pastor's mantle.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a prime example right there of everybody that has a pastor's mantle is not anointed to be a senior,
right,
pastor.
Right.
Because of that weight and responsibility and,
right,
all of that. They don't have the grace for it.
Mm.
You know, there are those who do it and there's a grace that's given for that,
mm-hmm,
you know. And if you don't have the grace to do that at a senior level, that means all those souls that you're responsible for, all that.
Wow.
Plus balance your family.
Right.
Plus balance your own life.
Right.
And your sanity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so many people sit from the pew and have all these wonderful ideas of how they would have, could have, and should have.
Yep. But then they just sit there and don't actually do it. They just like to tell, yep, you what to do.
Yeah, because they have no idea what it's really requiring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I just love your wisdom. And, you know, Chiquita is so precious to me. I really love her so much. And Chiquita, how can people get a hold of you? I know Chiquita teaches these wonderful programs to leaders and,
yes,
pastors, and but how can people get a hold of you and find you if they want you for a speaking engagement or anything like that?
Awesome. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
Actually, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is Dr. Chiquita Miller. God's girl.
Yes.
And I prefer to go by God's girl because I'm not a titles person. And so my website is called God's Girl Ministries. So girl is single. Is God's Girl Ministries. Ministries is plural. .org. And but if you go to my Facebook page, Dr. Chiquita Miller, God's Girl, there's a Book Now link on there as well. And you can kind of see different services that I offer. I do leadership development. I come in and do a consultation for churches as well,
yeah,
on how to be able to, you know, expand the ministry, not just in numbers, because it's not just about that. It's about souls, really. Are you reaching the main thing? Are you making the main thing the main thing? When I do leadership development, is dealing with the top five challenges that every pastor and leader has in churches a lot, and that's clarity, commitment, communication, connection, and conflict resolution.
That's so good. That's so good. And Chiquita also does stand-up comedy, and she is hilarious. And before we get off, I have to tell this story real fast because...
Okay, come on.
Okay. So, and I'm watching my time. I have to go get my kids. But, yeah, so last year, Chiquita asked me to go with her to Michigan to open up for her comedy show. And so this is like the first time I did actual stand-up comedy. I've done acting comedy, but not stand-up comedy. And so I was like, I can do this. Got there and had dry mouth. It felt like the Sahara was literally in my mouth. There's tumbleweeds going around. There's cactuses everywhere. Like, I can visualize it. There's a camel walking. But I go up there, and everything that I had planned and everything, my mouth just went completely dry.
Oh.
And I could not even swallow.
Oh, no.
It was, yeah, it was, I don't know if you realize that or not.
No,
but yeah,
I didn't realize
that. It was, everything went blank. So I went ahead and did my segment of the show. Everyone, you know, was good and everything, got in my seat in the audience, and they were about to welcome you up on stage, and I could feel the crocodile tears coming, and I was like, Lord, please, no. I should smile like I have a hanger in my mouth. I should be, like, the comedy, you know, like, and so I'm like, oh, gosh. So went to the bathroom, and I texted my husband, real dramatic, you know, I just totally butchered it. I'm horrible, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
And so then was crying and locked myself in the bathroom. And then all this is going on. So then Marcia comes in. I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't let that be someone from the audience. And so she comes in. She's like, Carrie. And I come out. My nose is all red.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm crying. Yes. And all the while, I texted my prayer group and my husband and my parents. They're all texting me scriptures and emojis and funny things. And Marcia's like, okay, let's dry this off. And she stood me in front of the mirror. And she said, okay, repeat after me. I am worthy. I am able. I'm funny.
That's mercy.
I was like, okay. And so I repeated this. And as I dried my tears and came out, I felt like I had a blotchy face. But you were on stage, Chiquita, and you stopped what you were doing, and you looked directly at me. And what this is how Chiquita is. She's such a, what you see is what you get. She's so real and authentic and has a heart for the Lord. And I just admire you so much in so many ways. But she looked over at me and she said, didn't Carrie do a great job? She had everyone clap for me. And she said, Carrie, I want you to know something, that I catapult people to their calling,
yeah,
and their future. And
yeah,
that's what I'm doing with you. And you spoke this prophecy stuff over me. And yeah, I was just so humbled. But you guys, that's who I am sitting before right now, is Chiquita Miller, the sweetest, most genuine person. So funny.
Oh,
my sister,
you.
I love you very much. And I
appreciate
you.
Don't let her
you.
Fool you. She did not flop like she thought she did.
Thank you.
She really didn't.
Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate it. Dramatic. I mean, I'm, you know, I feel called to do acting stuff. So there's
right,
the drama
right,
for you.
Right,
but.
Right. Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I love you dearly.
I love you.
Love what you're doing. Just watching you, just the whole, well, even full-time ministry.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, that was another catapult, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And but, you know, and sticking with it.
Yes.
You know, when God has said do something, doing it. And it's not always easy.
That's right.
And that we definitely know.
Amen.
But I love you dearly.
I love
so
you,
I appreciate
sister.
The honor.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. And again, how can they get a hold of you? Your website again?
GodsGirlMinistries.org.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.